Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway, and Paddy Power's Darren Hughes looking ahead to some good action on ITV4 from Sandown Park, Beverley and Chester. Loads and loads of other meetings going on all over the place, and then we'll delve into Sunday to see what the best bets are for that. First of all, Keighley, nice to see you back in the office. I mean, you haven't been here for a while, have you?
No, I haven't, mate. Yeah, somebody said, I'm surprised you knew how to get here. And funny enough, this morning, literally half an hour ago, I went out to buy a packet of fags at a local shop. And a guy come up to me and he said that he was Spanish, or a shoe, or Spanish speaking at least. And he come up to me and said, can you tell me where this address is? And I looked at him blankly and said, sorry, mate. And then he went to me, he said, you know how to use Google Maps? So he gets his Google Maps up and it's all in Spanish. Like, you know, but just about the only word I know in Spanish being a cretin is gracias, and I think I last used that when I was ordering something in Paris. And anyway, I gave up. I was sorry, mate. I went, okay. And he went and asked another person, and I just forgot about it. I headed back towards the office, and he comes up and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, it's here. And I looked at him and went, oh, I work here.
He wasn't one of your colleagues, was he?
No. I mean, he probably thought, I've come all the way over to England and met the thickest bloke in the world.
Oh, well, it's nice to see you. G-Rod, all well with you?
Yeah, I've been off for a couple of weeks. Been a bit of a busman's holiday. I've been doing a tour of all sorts of different race courses that I've never been.
Oh, lovely. Where have
before.
You ticked
so
off?
So I managed to tick off Pontefract.
Lovely Pontefract.
Yeah, it was. We had a good day there. The weather was a bit hit and miss, but it was kind of a bit like that up north, wasn't it? You know, and then we went to York for a couple of days, which I've already done a few times, but obviously a cracking week there in Ebor, and finished off with Worcester on Wednesday night. And that was a really, really wet night. You know, we got absolutely soaked walking down from the station down to the track. I spent all night getting soaked, and I came back, I was absolutely soaked through. It was a terrible night from weather perspective, but we backed winners, so it was a really great
Worcester,
night.
Too. I remember when David Ashworth did his legendary racecourse tour all those years ago, and Worcester came out bottom. I think it's all right.
It probably needs some work, to put it fair. You know,
the water after winter. It's hard to do.
To put it lightly, it needs some updating, but we had a great night.
Good. Excellent, lovely stuff. Right then, let's get stuck into the first of the ITV4 races we're going to look at. It's the 150 at Sandown. It's the Play 4 to score at Betway Handicap. Difficult start this. 5 furlongs. Darren, take it away. How do Paddy Power bet?
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, we are actually 4 places each way on this race. A fifth of the odds. You have a good chance to get place money. Just Another Bottle and Tinto are our joint 11-2 favourites here. Only Spoofing is 6-1. Embor is 13-2. Jamira Bridge is 13-2. Sahek 7-1, Mountain Peak is 8, and it is 10s and bigger the rest.
Right then, Kills, you can go first. Who wins this?
Hopefully. Return to Sandown will spark a bit more interest in Jamira Bridge. Return from a Windhoek to win here very easily. Beat Tinto, who's one of the favourites. And has dropped back to a mark just £2 above. Now, that day at Sandown, he quick and clear, probably went for home too early, quick and nicely clear. And was getting pegged back. We're still 3/4 length ahead of the line. Was never going to get beat. He's running a first-time tongue-tie this time. I don't know whether that's been a problem because obviously he's had wind issues, but he's run at Sandown twice and he's won at Sandown twice. So I quite like that angle.
Is the draw important?
The draw, I don't think, is anywhere near as important as it was 2 years ago. I mean, I had a look.
Used to have
think,
to be low, didn't
it? The last 12 months or so, you know, it's a half and half. Like, half the races have been won by stalls on the outside, so it doesn't bother me so much. But he's in, you know, he's in three anyway, so, you know, it wouldn't be a bad draw for sure. What I fear most is Embor, just keeps getting nutted at 6 furlongs and might just find a really stiff 5 to his liking for Ryan Moore. But I like Jamira Bridge's course record.
And Graham, who do you like?
Yeah, wide open race, isn't it? Only Spoofing. Was in cracking form, won, I think, 3 in a row, won nicely at Ascot 2 runs ago. All his best form seems on stiff 5 furlong courses like Sandown, should be ideal. The last time out at Chelmsford he was beaten, but it's a pretty sharp test round Chelmsford. You've got to be pretty quick to win round there over 5 furlongs. I don't think it would have suited him ideally, and he pulled a bit too hard for one reason or another. I think he's drawn stall 1 here, so he's got the rail to run against. If they can bounce him out in front, the return to turf on a stiff track will suit him.
Okay, Darren, a 5 furlong big field handicaps at Sandown, your sort of thing?
No, it makes me feel unwell, to be honest. The one I came down on here was just that I keep relatively simple. Best horse in the race is Embor, top weight. This is just about the weakest contest he's competed in a while. It's a token selection, really. I couldn't be madly confident. I just think that the track will suit. Good ground, obviously, underfoot will suit. And he might just have a slight class edge over these, but it's not a massively confident selection.
Okay, Darren, give us a show on the 225. The Betway Heed Your Hunch handicap over 10 furlongs.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so Country here is our 9-4 favourite for William Haggis. Migration is then 4-1. Solid Stone is 9-2. Morton is 6-1, and it is 9s and bigger the rest.
Graham, what's your saying about Haggis? He doesn't call his...
Geese Swans. He doesn't call his Geese Swans. I'm always a bit worried to take on William Haggis trained horses when they've got a bunch of ones by their name, because you never quite know how good they're going to be. He's the sort of trainer who can bring up these group type performers through handicaps, and Country could well be one of them, but the price is short enough here. And another who has famed obviously at bringing through group performers through handicaps and slowly is Sir Michael Stout, and I think he might have a potentially classy horse here in Solid Stone, who was a good second at the course behind Marmora 2 runs ago over a mile. Last time out was beaten by Bless Him travelled all over him at Yarmouth, but that was over a mile, and this is a mile and a quarter. And he had until the race was run, he did hold a great Voltadour entry. He has won over a mile and 2 furlongs, so he looks like he'll be well suited by the return to a longer trip. I'm expecting a big run from Solid Stone.
Darren, who do you hope produces a big run?
Whisper it softly, Bruce, but I'm going to trot out that tired old trope. I think we might have another group horse in a handicap here in the shape of Country for William Haggis. Really, really impressed him the last time. Like, he only won by a half length, but doesn't tell the full story. He wasn't doing a whole pile when he hit the front. He travelled like a really good horse. Form has been advertised very, very well since, with Cardano going in, and then Emirates Knight went in to the night at Kempton as well. This lad's rated 93. If he's not rated, I would say 105, 106 in the next 6 months, I will be shocked.
Keels, what's your approach going to be to the Haggis?
One of me and Darren is going to end up with egg on our faces, because I think it's the worst favourite running anywhere tomorrow, Country. I get what they're saying about Haggis bringing up these horses, but Haggis is a master placer of horses, and I think there's a reason he sent it up to Ripon and Redcarton to complete his hat trick. He won 2 novice races in absolute garbage company. They're 2 from 31 between them since. And while he won last time, the horse that was second to him at Ripon was third to him there, and was only beaten half a length. Cardano only won a 4-runner race. I'm not having that form standing out that well. And what he didn't notice, he put cheek pieces on him first time that day as well, and he had to be chivvying along early. He did get to the front. He did come with a fine run through, but then I looked at me like he was waiting in front as well, because they were all under the cosh well before him, and he just looked like he was waiting in front. And now he's going into a miles better race with a stiff uphill finish, and I think he'll get found out. I think he'll throw the towel in.
You're going to be place laying?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I think the most likely, most likely winner out of the 3-year-olds is Migration, who showed quite a nice turn of foot. It's come from almost last to first off a steady gallop here last time, but you know he'd already been beaten in good handicaps, good 3-year-old handicaps. And now he's £4 higher than when he got beaten in them. So he needs to come on again. And I just keep looking at the older horses. And I think that Eve Johnson Horton's Hyanna is like just a super consistent filly. She's been in the first 3-13 of 20 starts. Would be 14 if Tad O'Shea had got any sort of run in the Shergar Cup last time. And, you know, although she does most of her running over a mile and a half, a very, very best piece of form was over a mile and 2 furlong here, where she was beaten in a 3-way photo by Jazeel and Beringer. Jazeel's gone on to be second in a Class 2 handicap on Glorious Goodwood. That's proper, solid Class 2 handicap form. And I think, you know, there aren't 4 places in this race, but I mean, I think she's a crack in each way bet. She's around about 9 or 10 to 1.
Okay. You're at Sandown tomorrow. It sounds like that race is going to make or break.
It will do, mate. Yes, without a shadow, yeah.
Okay, the 3 o'clock, very hot favourite here, the Betway Atalanta Stakes, Group 3 for fillies and mares, over a mile. Darren, what's the latest from Paddy Power?
She is a hot favourite, Bruce, this Jubiloso, but we are money back all losers if she does win, up to a max stake of €10 per customer. Jubiloso is indeed our even money favourite. June Flower then for Frankie and John Gosden is 11-4. Lavender's Blue is 15-2. Look Around is 8s. Solar Gold is 12s. Exhort is 14s. Red Starlight is 18-1, Braska's 28, and Shboom rounds them out at 33-1.
What are you going to do, Darren? Back or lay the fav?
It's really boring, but I'm going to back her, I think. Well, I don't know whether I'll actually back her myself, but she is my selection for this race. I think she got a pig of a ride the last time. Or maybe a pig of a ride is unfair, but just things really did not go her way. Like, she got stuck in the rail, she had to switch out. Billisenbrook got first run on her. I just think an awful lot went wrong. I think 7 furlongs around Goodwood was plenty sharp enough for her as well. A mile around here would probably suit better. Like, when you're looking at Juneflower there, 11-4 fav, you know, two starts ago was running in class 4 handicaps. I just don't really believe that she's now a stakes filly. Lavender's Blue has been disappointing since a very impressive debut. I just don't think there's a whole pile of depth to this. Jubiloso is the potential star in this race. And, you know, fair enough, she's even money, but I think she's by far the most likely winner.
Ryan Moore is certainly getting coming under a bit more scrutiny this year, and this is one of the rides where people were looking at. But what do you think, Hills? I mean, sometimes at Goodwood, you're behind a wall of horses. It's just impossible, isn't it? You need luck, and if you don't get the luck, you end up looking silly, don't you?
You know, I mean, you know, Ryan Moore shouldn't be exempt from criticism, nor should any jockey. But, you know, when you're talking about Goodwood in a big field, right, the horse didn't break particularly well. He rode it along to get into a position. Suddenly, if she finds a wall of horses in front and alongside her, they're all rolling in towards the rail as well. You know, it's just difficult. Like, you know, by the way, I don't think she'd have won anyway. I think Billisenbrook is a very, very good filly when she gets a decent field, a good gallop to run out, and Goodwood, where she's got an exceptional record there. But I also think that if this race was run at Goodwood, Billisenbrook would thrash a lot of them as well. Jubiloso is the best horse in the race by a mile. And I think she'd be nearer 4-7 than even money on the day. This Doonflower, who was second favourite after the race, I mean, she was 11-1 when she won a listed race at Ascot. And John Gosden said, I think that was her Oaks day. We might try and find another listed race. No, this wasn't like, you know, it was basically a shock to him. That she
rather than
that
a stepping
good.
Stone yeah, to bigger
exactly,
and better things.
Exactly. So if I was playing, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not the sort of person that bets at odds on or even money or whatever, but I may well be laying Doonflower for a place because I bet she's no better than a lot of those horses in the race.
But you rate the fav?
I rate the fav, yeah.
Do you rate the fav, G-Rod?
Yeah, I agree with the boys. I think the fav will win. I agree with Darren. I thought it was given a particularly average ride at Goodwood. I may be pocket talking because I did back her at a short price.
What do you think Ryan Moore did wrong then?
I know she didn't break brilliantly, but I thought he should definitely have had her closer than he did. I mean, he didn't seem particularly bothered about getting shuffled back in the pack on a horse that stays further. That was a 7-furlong race and Jubiloso had form over a mile. The one thing you knew with Jubiloso was she was going to stay. So the place I didn't want to see her was midfield towards the back of the field. And she was very easily shuffled back. And I would have liked to have seen Ryan a bit busier earlier to make sure that she held a better position up on the lead. And I think if she had held a better position on the lead, she would have won that race, unlike Keels. And the form is fairly solid because the runner-up Perfection has come out and won since a listed race at Pontefract. And Billisenbrook, we know, is a solid enough filly on her day, especially around Goodwood and Newmarket, places like that, downhill sort of tracks. She's obviously won a Guineas before. And I just think that form's head and shoulders above anything else in the race. And I think she'll win.
We've got 3 votes for Jubiloso. 3:35, the Betway Solario Stakes, Group 3. Over 7 furlongs, won in the last 2 years by Derby winner Massar and the superb 2 Darn Hot. Do we have another horse of similar potential in this field? Let's get the betting and then we'll get the views.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so positive here is our 11-8 favourite for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby. Also hail them for Godolphin is 15-8. Vizinari is 5-1, Kamiko is 10s, Etasi is 14s, Hector Loza is 18s, and Full Verse rounds them out at 25-1.
Kills, Pinatubo, rather than go on and win that race at Goodwood as he did, slamming positive et al., didn't eat up that morning, so they pulled him out. The race is run, positives absolutely slaughtered them by 5 lengths. What price is he for this under those circumstances?
Possibly a little bit shorter. You know, I've got question marks about the race. I think a lot of horses didn't run at their form. I can't say I'm massively interested about backing a horse that's been thumped by 5 lengths a short price next time. So I'm against. Definitely has the best form, but only just. Because Vizinari is a miles better horse than he showed that day. It's as simple as that. There was talk, you know, there was, you know, a lot of the clock watchers early in, you know, when he made a debut, they sort of built him up. And he actually made a massive amount of improvement when he was third in the group race. next time, and then blew out a Goodwood. But in the interviews beforehand, Mark Johnson was saying people are telling me that he won't handle Goodwood because he's a really tall horse, and he didn't. I'm absolutely convinced he just didn't handle it, and he'll be much, much closer to positive. And I think the difference in price, if he hadn't run at Goodwood, he'd be second favourite for sure, maybe even, you know, closing on favourite. So I think around about 5-1. I think that's a silly price. I think that's too.
He's an Ari.
I think that's too big. Yeah.
What do you make of the second favourite?
I don't know.
Win at Yarmouth, wasn't it?
Could win at Yarmouth, but didn't have to improve to win. I mean, that's the thing. It's one of those could be anything. Obviously, Charlie Appleby won the race.
I'm doing that awful thing, by the way, where I'm not calling them by their name. What, the Fav, yeah. the Haggis thing and all that. Yeah. I can't stand that.
Oh, yeah, they're not things.
No, all right. Well, even horse.
It. No. You know, I mean, he's one of those could be anything types. Like, you know what I mean? But has way over a stone to find on what he's done so far, as do all of the others, none of whom really strike me as being that exciting. We talk about, you know, the great horses that have won this race, like Kingman, like Too Darn Hot, you know, even a Derby winner, Massa. I'll be pushing that one to say great. But you know, a lot of the time this is...
Don't always have to be that good.
No, a lot of the time this is an average Group 3, and I think this is what we got. So positive's the right favourite, but I'll take a chance with Visionari.
Graham Rodway, what's your selection going to be?
I think if you're going to be backing positive, then you probably think that Pinatubo must be the second coming, because Pinatubo absolutely hammered him at Goodwood. I mean, I backed positive that day and I thought he ran very, very well in defeat. And he did beat the rest easily. But, I mean, if positive wins this race tidily, then you're going to be thinking that Pinatubo must be an absolute superstar, which he might well be. But I couldn't be backing positive at the price, given how easily he was beaten by Pinatubo. I think Visionari is interesting because that Goodwood one run also... worth mentioning that day there was a really strong headwind and Visionari blasted out and attempted to make all right into that headwind. And I don't think that would have suited him. That wouldn't have been ideal. But I would probably back Alsa Howe. I was blown away with his win at Yarmouth last time when I thought he did quite a lot wrong. Now, I know he was 1-6, so it was a weak enough race and his main rival lost 5 lengths at the start. So it's not hard to pick holes in the form. But he was sweating up. He was on his toes before the race. He didn't look really sort of straightforward at all. I thought he pulled quite hard and he blew them away. He was full of running at the finish. Now, obviously, the worry again is that could happen again. Maybe he will get a little bit het up
before the race. It's meant to be quite sunny and pleasant again, isn't it?
So we'll see how he goes. But having seen him done it once, maybe it wouldn't be a total negative if he did. And I think he's also with loads more to come, Alsa Howe.
Okay, and Darren, what's your verdict?
Me and Keels are singing off the same hymn sheet here. Yeah, I think, like, if you look at Visionari, he was made up to be a god after his first start, and then at the end of his second start, lads were saying he was no good, and then Goodwood, he's apparently useless. And I just, people seem to jump to extremes with these horses way too quickly, and for me, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. I think an awful lot went against him at Goodwood. Yeah, he didn't handle the track, but as well as that, he tried to give a lead to a horse who was probably a class above, you know, and tried to go with him, whereas Positive was very much ridden to pick up the pieces, which he duly did. Yeah, look, I think he could definitely get a soft lead here, and he kind of have things his own way. The ground will be in his favour. That Alsa Hale, I can't take sub 2-1 about a horse who's only won a Yarmouth Novice. I mean, yes, okay, he might end up being very special, but as Keel says, he is, I'd say, nearly 2 stone to find with these at their best form. So at 5-1, yeah, I'd say Visionari in my book is more of a 5-2, 3-1 shot, and I'm more than happy to take that price about him.
Well, I hope Visionari wins, Keels, for poor old James Willoughby, who obviously established the Visionari yeah. fan club, didn't he? And then got all sorts of stick after that Goodwood run. Didn't
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why give people stick? I mean, yeah, it's great that people come out with opinions, isn't it?
Well, exactly, this is the thing.
And we all sat here and said, oh, I don't know whether that's going to win or not.
And typically yeah. with James, he did it in a very interesting, evidence-backed, innovative way, you know, and he yeah. just gets shouted
yeah,
down.
Yeah, absolutely, fantastic. Absolutely agree. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who come out and knock people who give opinions like that, it's always after the fact. It's never yeah, beforehand. You know, after timing yeah. is absolutely vile. Like, it's the worst thing you can do as far as I'm concerned. So
I couldn't agree more. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with Beverly.
So does an E-Trade bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, welcome back. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers. Darren Hughes looking ahead to three more ITV4 races at Beverley and Chester. We'll start with the 205 at Beverley. It's the William Hill Silver Cup handicap over a mile and two. Darren, take it away with the show.
Small but competitive field here, Bruce. Desert Icon is our 2-1 fav here. Dark Vision then is 5-2. Good Birthday is 5-2. Victory Command is 7s. Arctic Fox is 9s. And Three Comets is the outsider of the field at 10-1.
Yeah, as Darren says, small but competitive. Graham, solve this puzzle.
This is great, this, because I can trot out another one of my favourite old racing cliches, which is that there's a good horse waiting to happen in this race, and it's called Good Birthday. I've been waiting for this horse to show his true colours for quite some time. I mean, he was wildly impressive when he won at Doncaster on easy ground towards the start of the season. Then next time out at Newbury, he ran in that London Gold Cup, which is a red hot race. The winner has gone on to look very special in group races. And he made his challenge towards the far side of the track when they all came down the middle. And he also made a huge move from the rear. And I think that cost him the race, really, there. He disappointed next time at Ascot. And then last time out at Newmarket, he just looked all at sea on the ground. I thought it was really quick ground. And he again was out on the wrong side of the track in quite a hot race. He went off favourite for that race. I think he'll be well suited by more ease in the ground here at Beverley. He's run over a mile and a half before, so I don't think a stiff mile and a quarter will be any problem. And I think Good Birthday is one of the best bets on the day.
There you go. Graham Rodway's come alive. Do you endorse his fancy for Good Birthday, Darren?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I'm raging you went to him first. It sounds like I'm copying the two lads here today. He's put it beautifully. A good horse waiting to happen is exactly what this lad is. I can rehash what he said. Like, you go back to Newbury, his run behind Headman there looks absolutely top class. Like, he also had Forrest Adine in behind him, who's come out since. The Trader was in fifth, has run well since. Absolutely no complaints to this lad. Last time out, blatantly didn't stay a mile and a half at Ascot. That's all that was wrong there. And the ground was probably a touch soft for him as well. Newmarket challenged the wrong side of the track, exactly as Graham said. 5-2 here, I think, is more than fair. I'd probably recommend taking that now. I could see him going off sub 2-1.
And let's get the views of a man who's had far fewer birthdays than you might think. Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I had a few good ones, though. No, listen, I can't argue. I mean, I was all over Good Birthday at Newmarket last time, and a decent bet on it. Probably didn't handle the track, has won on easy ground, and could be the one. A bit of after time, I got one of the best value bets I've ever had at York the other day, and that was on Dark Vision, who opened up at 25-1 first show, which was, it was one of the biggest collective mistakes in the betting industry I've ever seen. Went off 4-1. I was on each way, five places. Where'd he finish? Sixth. It would just be sod's law that he'll piss up here and be Good Birthday, but I think Good Birthday is very much the one to beat.
Three confident votes for Good Birthday there. Right then, the 3:15 at Beverley is the William Hill Beverley Bullet. It's a sprint over 5 furlongs. Very competitive. Darren, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
We are at Tis Marvellous in as our 9-4 fav, Bruce. Then Danzino is 4-1. Judicial is 6s. Tarbush is 7s. Copper Knight is 9s. Ornate is 9s. And it is 12s. And bigger the rest.
And you can go first, Darren.
Yeah, I found this pretty tough. I respect the fav a lot, but he seemed to take a big leap forward the last time. And I'd just be a little bit suspicious of that until I saw him repeat it. And I think 9-4 is probably short enough. The weather forecast, you lads might know better than me, it's meant to piss rain at Beverley tomorrow. The ground could turn quite soft up there. And if it does do that, there's one horse in this field who will definitely handle that, and that's Intense Romance for Michael Dodds and Connor Beasley. Took a huge step forward in his form last year, going from running in Class 4 handicaps to winning listed events. Hasn't really got going this year as yet. He's only had the 2 starts, one in April over here in Ireland on ground that was probably a bit too good for him, and then just ran no race in Haydock in June in a listed race on very heavy ground. I'd be hopeful Michael Dodds has him back on an even keel for this. He's getting weight off the fav as well, getting £5, just should be enough. Should get an uncontested lead here. I really like front runners at Beverley. It's one of my favourite tracks actually to punt at in the UK. I think if you can get to the lead and you're kind of in front 2 out and kick from there, you can be very, very hard to pick back, especially in soft conditions. And at 12-1, I just thought he was worth the flyer.
Beverly's very much on my list of courses to tick off. Keels, we haven't actually touched upon the weather yet. You're our resident weather watcher.
The showers forecast all depends on what they get, doesn't it? But it's good to soft already, which can't be in Tis Marvellous's favour, because he's almost been kept away from any ease in the ground most of his life. I think he's only run on it twice. It's also his best three runs in Britain, all Ascot. And that got to ring alarm bells. Now he's got undulations to deal with. He's got softer ground to deal with on a track he's never been to. It's enough for me to say that, you know, hang on a minute, this is short enough. I don't think he took that much of a big leap forward last time, because, I mean, he was second in the Wokingham the time before, and he's basically just back to his two-year-old form. He was a Group 2 winner at two. So, you know, he's a very decent horse. But there's, you know, for me, I think there's more pace in there than the Darren thinks. Ornate made all in the dash. So, I mean, he'll go fast. You know, Beverly might not really be his track. But Tarbush had a wind operation, pulled far too hard first run after it, but then was a really good staying on eighth, close up to Dakota Gold last week. I think he's coming back. He was in absolutely cracking form at this time last year and on easy ground. And I think he's on the way back. And he's definitely better than his official mark says if he comes back to last year's form. And I think he's a cracking each way bet.
What price is Tarbush, Darren?
Tarbush is 7-1 with us.
Okay. Graham, who are you going to be backing?
The weather's quite interesting, because I was working on the assumption that it might quicken up and go more towards good.
My app has only got a very light bit of rain forecast.
Well, I had a good look at YR.no, you know, the old Norwegian one that Keely loves, and it says 0000 mils forecast. And if that's the case, good to soft quickening back up towards good, maybe. I mean, it's a nice enough day down here anyway. I don't know what it's like in Beverly, but maybe if it came good, then I think Tis Marvellous in different gravy to this lot. I mean, to me, he is a group sprinter here in a listed race. He was very impressive when he won at Ascot last time. Yes, all of his best form is Ascot. You can't contest that, but... Trainer Clive Cox has said before that he thinks his best trip is 5.5, and there ain't many stiffer than Beverly over 5, so this track shouldn't be a problem for Tis Marvellous. The big worry, of course, is if the ground goes really...
Net office 50% chance of rain from midday onwards tomorrow, so it says. But
that's the big problem.
We had 10% chance of rain playing golf the other day, didn't we? Oh, lashed out. So you just can't tell.
Well, it said 6 mils at Worcester the other night and poured down from start to finish. So, you know, how do we know what we're going to get? Yeah. I mean, if it goes soft, I won't be back into Tis Marvellous. All of his best form is on quick ground. That is the worry. But if it's good ground, then I'll be happy to back Tis Marvellous. If it goes soft, there's only one soft ground horse in the race, and that's the one that Darren's tipped, Intense Romance.
Intense Romance. Okay, and that's the beauty of betting. You don't have to have a bet now. You can wait and see. Our final ITV4 race takes place at Chester, over a mile 6.5, so about 8 laps. Sport Peas are Chester Stakes, listed race, and Kiehl's, away you go. Oh, no, let's get the betting first, actually. Darren.
No worries, Bruce. Yeah, so it's a small but, again, competitive field here. Outboxes are 13-8 fav. Stivers for Dermot Weld is 5-2 second fav. Persian Moon is 9-2. Tribal Craft is 7s. Macar is 8s. And Vivid Diamond is 9-1.
Is this one of your stronger fancies of the day, Kiehl's?
Well, I wouldn't say stronger fancy, because it's a great unknown. I think official ratings say it's nowhere near as competitive as the market suggests. I know that, you know, the front two in the betting are a bit shorter, but, you know, they're rated, this is Stivers and Outbox, they're rated 105, Persian Moon is rated 97, and the rest are 94 and below, right? So they've got a fair amount in it, they've got a fair amount in hand. What we don't know is what this Stivers is like. We know Outbox is a solid handicap, a stroke listed class performer off that sort of mark. He's run well 3 out of 4 times this year. It's obviously second to King's Advice at Goodwood's, good run. But this Stivers comes from Argentina, and he's having the first run for Dermot Weld. Now, I think, you know, if they bought a dud, he'd just keep it at home, wouldn't he? Well, why would he bring him over here? Now, I had to, you know, it's very hard to know what the form is worth, but I did have a look. He ran in the biggest Group 1 in Argentina. It's called the Gran Premio Carlos Pellegrini, and you can look it up on YouTube. He's an 18-runner Group 1, and he was joint second favourite. And he got the sort of ride that would Twitter pocket talk was in meltdown. He got in loads of trouble, and then seemed to be getting very, very little help from the saddle close home by Jorge Ricardo, of all people, and finished a very close fifth. He's been second in a Group 1 over there. I have no idea how good the form is, but I'll take a chance, because I think Outbox has got his level, and this horse going up to this trip for the first time in his life. That was a mile and a half in Argentina, finishing really strongly. Might just be better horse.
G-Rod, what's your handle on Argentinian form?
I'm really pleased that you went to Kills first, because I was really looking forward to seeing whether he could give us a real good lowdown on the Argentinian form.
It's a guess.
And I thought he did a pretty good effort there.
Superb, wasn't it? You haven't been on YouTube to see the Carlos Pellegrini handicap?
Oh, yeah, I know. The only Pellegrini I know is Manuel Pellegrini.
I thought that's what the race was named after originally. I had to look up. Apparently he was their president in 1890.
Really?
Yeah.
He even researched the sponsor. Not the sponsor, the person it's named after.
Too well to sponsor it now, wouldn't he?
Some of the pronunciations were great as well. Maybe he was talking to his Spanish friend from earlier about how to...
That's why he's the boss and you're the oily rag, G-Rod, isn't he? Because he goes extra miles. So basically, you've got absolutely nothing you can help us with here. No?
Well, I just looked at Stars and thought, well, you know, if that wins, I'll let that win, because I've got no idea how good that form is and I don't want to take a chance on it. I wouldn't be backing out Box at a short price. I thought it was ridiculous. And I just thought that... the race had the look of sort of one of those races that Mark Johnson would win with one of those horses that you think he probably shouldn't win it with, and the choices between Persian Moon and Vivid Diamond. Now, I can't use one of my favourite Mark Johnson, market to guide you stats, which I got ripped apart about on Twitter last time, but even after getting ripped apart, it still came true because they came in strongly for Saprinka and then he went and did the business after going off favourite, so take that one. But...
just guarantees you another load of stick.
Yeah. But obviously, this isn't a handicap, and the stats only go as far as handicaps. This is a listed race. So,
are we getting a selection anytime the next 30 seconds?
As a result, I'm going to ignore the market. I'm going to go with Vivid Diamond. Mainly because it Saprinka is the horse that won at Ascot last time, and I thought it ran quite well behind Saprinka last. Not last time. Oh, hold on. Am I getting mixed up? One second. No, sorry. It was at Ascot. This was the race I was just talking about. Saprinka won.
I'm totally confused, mate.
Behind him. It's a horrible little race. It's one of my worst bets of the day, but I will back Vivid Diamond. Did that make any sense?
No.
Barely. Darren, have you seen any money for this Dermot World Horse yet?
Yeah, I heard a few whispers. He's Melbourne Cup bound, lads. That's the ultimate aim. We all know Dermot knows how to win that. No, absolutely nothing about the horse. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm hardly an expert on UK and Irish form, so I'm certainly not an expert on Argentinian form, and I won't pretend to be.
Well, I mean, if he's Melbourne Cup bound, he has to win this by 10 lengths, doesn't he? He ran 105. He's like 20,000 to 1 to get in at the moment.
Yeah, he's 100 to 1 poke to win it. I don't know. That's a very valid point. I'm only saying what I'm hearing is that he's Melbourne Cup bound, so I don't know what the crack is.
I might try and back this thing and do that thing where you enhance it by it to win over a certain distance. That sounds like the sort of bet to me. Because if they've got a win by miles, he won't be sitting there lighting a cigar up if he's clear with a half furlong to go, will he?
That's fair. Like, and DK doesn't send too many over to Chester either. But ultimately, the one I came down on here was Persian Moon. I was a big fan of him last year. And I thought he might kick on to better things. Just hasn't happened for him this year, but I think he's had enough excuses. Like, he's been tried over, trips too short, tracks too sharp, ground too good. And I just think, it's what is it now? It's good up in Chester tomorrow. There might be a small drop of rain up there as well. He doesn't need it like a bog or anything, just a small bit of dig underfoot. Could get an easy lead out in front here. He's getting weight off the two at the top. And at 9-2 and there's bigger elsewhere, I just thought he was worth a flyer at that, because, as I said, this Stivers could be anything or he could be nothing. And I'm not saying I discount him, but I can't. It's hard to take him into too much account, if you get me.
That's the TV action. Let's do all the other Saturday racing next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Right then, we've got the Chester, Beverley and Sandown undercards. There's also Newton Abbott. There's Wolverhampton, Lingfield and Chelmsford. And by the way, well done, Chelmsford. They are staging the richest race of the day, a 100 grand 16-runner handicap. The boys are going to give us all their other fancies. We'll see if that race features on their radar. Keels, you can start.
Yeah, I got quite a few because I couldn't sleep last night, so I spent the whole night studying up.
Why couldn't you sleep?
A bit of stomach issues. I haven't got a gallbladder anymore. I have a problem digesting stuff. You can't have too much acid. And I must have drunk 2 litres of orange juice yesterday, basically, and just ruined myself.
Oh no!
You know, but there you go. So you know, my loss is everyone else's game. It'll be a little bit of luck. I've found a few winners. We start at Chester 210 Arcanada, trained by Tom Gaston, as trap one, has a rating of 86 on turf and 100 and something on the all weather. His form on turf used to be roughly the same, but he's been actually running quite well on turf. Second last time out, I think if he breaks, and he can sometimes miss it for a front runner. If he breaks, he'll be hard to beat. 355, Brian the Snail, a horse that was once rated Wokingham, possibly even Commonwealth Cup, turned into a little bit of a rogue for Richard Fahey. But
did he run all right in midweek? Is, he ran well the other day.
Yes, he's just come back to form, and he has these little moments of form, and then he just loses it again. He's dropped down to a mark £1 below when he absolutely bolted up. I mean, he was 6-5 favourite in quite a reasonable sized field handicap at Doncaster early in the season. He's now a pound below it already. That shows you how much he did lose his form, but it looks like he's come back. Hasn't got the best of drawing 6 or 8, I think, but even so, he's definitely primed to win again. Over to Sandown, 4-10. Swinley Forest runs in the nursery. First time he's had 4 runs. Did get beat at 6-4 last time in a reasonable sized field at Bath, but a runner up to whom he was given a fair bit of weight, won a handicap off 70 earlier on this week. So I think he's not badly treated off 76. In the 4:45, Silkstone's been running really well all season, but compromised by small fields and slow paces. There's plenty of pace in this race, especially with the top weight, who can go off very fast. So I think Silkstone will go very well. At Beverley, 3:50, Bosun Fred is just a horse that's come down a handicap nicely, run fairly well recently and has got a good draw. I think he might go well from the front. That big race at Chelmsford, 7:15. Cenotaph won it last year off the same, exactly the same mark for Jerry Minicida. He's been moved to Simon Crisford. Crisford's put cheek pieces on him. He's got a 30% strike rate with horses in cheek pieces. He's obviously been laid out for it again, and he won it incredibly easily last year. So I think he's got to go close again.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
Six?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, those Sundays. Sunday. Oh, I thought we had a Goliath on the go, or a Union Jack or something.
You've only got 7 from the previous lot.
G-Rod, how many are on your list?
Well, I've got 4, but I mean, 3 of them are running against the ones that Keely's tipped, and they aren't
matter.
The same ones. So take your pick. But the one that Keely hasn't tipped that I'm fairly confident will win runs in the first race at Chester called No Show, trained by Richard Hannan. This one was very promising debut, first time out at Sandown when finishing third, and then went off 2-1 favourite to win last time out at Haydock. Pulled far too hard, probably wasn't suited by the ground, and the drop back to 6 furlongs also might not have been ideal. So we're back up to 7 furlongs at Chester on Saturday. The ground is good, it won't be quick, that should be ideal, and he's got stall 1. And I'm absolutely certain they're going to attempt to make all, given how keen he was last time from stall 1. And we've got Andreat Zeni, one of the best, if not the best, front-running jockey in the business. So I'll be quite hopeful that No Show will win the first at Chester. In the 2:10, Oh This Is Us won that race last year. Loves the track, has dropped back to a mark of 102, I think. I think he won it of 108 last time.
What are you doing, Kills?
I'm having a scratch. All
right. Okay. Sorry,
I'll fidget.
Oh, This Is Us. Yeah, 2:10 at Chester. The race that kills a tip something in at Sandown. 4:10, the nursery. That is going to go to Morehim for Simon Crisford. This one won nicely last time out at Chelmsford. Yes. I knew I'd seen it somewhere. My local track. Yeah, I booked Adam Kirby here. I think Mulham will win the 4:10. And then we're going to go over to Chelmsford. Because as you say, I mean, 4 marks to Chelmsford. What a card they're putting on tomorrow night. And the best race of the day, the biggest race of the day, the most lucrative race of the day. The Betfred Chelmsford City Cup Heritage Handicap. What a cracker this should be. War glory for me. Ran really well last time out at Ascot, and looks capable of building on that. He's got some good course form as well in the past, and that is always a big thing around Chelmsford. It is a tight track around there. I think War Glory can win that race. He's got a bit of a bugger of a draw in stall 14, but they have been coming down the middle there recently, so it's maybe not as much of a negative as it would usually be.
Okay. What was the best of those tips, do you think, Kills?
The one that's not running against mine. I remember the name of it.
Darren, what have you got for us?
3 filthy all-weather tips. Do you want Sundays as well or just Saturday?
We'll have just Saturday.
Cool. Okay, 3 on the all-weather then for Saturday. We're heading to Lingfield first, the 6 o'clock in Lingfield. It's a class 6 handicap. Charles Hills runs one here called Lucy Lou. She's a Galileo filly. I'd say a lot better was expected of her than this, but she's steadily improved at run to run this year. She started out getting beaten out of sight by Star Catcher over 10 furlongs, first start of her life, and she's, as I said, steadily improved and improved. Finished a reasonably promising third over a mile and a half at Fosse the last day out, looking like this step up and trip at suit. Shin here off 69. It's a 2 mile handicap around Lingfield. I think you'll see marked improvement from her, and I'd expect her to win. Heading down then to Wolverhampton for the 5 past 4 race. It's another fairly poor race. It's a lady riders race here. And I think the one I fancy here is Noble Prospector. He's last seen finishing close to country twice, actually. The country we were chatting about earlier on. This is a drop in class. Megan Nichols in the plate. I think he did fairly well to only get £3 for finishing so close to country the last time. And hopefully he can break his duck here. And then the last one, we're heading down to the 7 o'clock in Lingfield. It's probably my strongest fancy of the three tips. And it's a horse called Dreamweaver for Ed Walker and Liam Kinnairy. He took a big step forward 3 starts ago at Haydock, breaking his duck. It was the second win of his life. He won by 4 lengths. Went to Sandown then and ran in an unusually good race for a class 3 handicap. He only beaten 4 lengths by migration, and that form I would say is quite strong. This is his first go at a mile and a half, and it is back in the old weather. It's slightly weaker contest than he had class 5. He's currently rated 75, and this is honestly a horse I would say in the next 3 or 4 years you're going to be seeing in the big handicaps on Saturday running off the likes of 90, 95, 100. Now whether that's going to, how soon that's going to come, I don't know. But I do expect him to win here tomorrow night and better again. I think he will get a decent price because it's the likes of Oliver Hardy and Dame Freya Stark who will help him make the market. I'd say if he goes up 2-1, 9-4, take that straight away. I think he'll go off about evens.
Superb. Excellent. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway.
Good birthday for me. 2 o'clock Beverly.
Darren Hughes.
I was going to go for the same as Graham, but I'll go for Dreamweaver in the 7 o'clock in Lingfield.
And Paul Keeley.
Yeah, I'll say Hyanna in the 2:25 at Sandown.
Lovely stuff. Right then, on Sunday, they are racing at Brighton, at Cork and Windsor. We're not going to pretend it's the most stellar Sunday, but a winner is a winner, so let's hope the boys have got some. Keels, you first.
It really is disgraceful, the standard of racing we put on a summer holiday Sunday, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's just terrible.
I think the whole August needs looking at.
But Sundays in general in Britain are awful. It's embarrassing that we can't put some decent racing on for people to go to when they can go. Like, you know, but there you go, that's as it is. I've got a couple at Brighton. Sent Flying has won 2 of his last 3. He won at Brighton by 7 lengths off a mile 3 starts ago. Then last time out, won at Newmarket pretty easily again. I think he's got to take the world a beating. Joyful Dream's been hovering around the market in the mid-40s for, you know, the last God knows how many, but one last time. Seems to be in good nick, should go well as well. And one at Worcester, Oscar Mon in the 5:10. Just absolutely hated heavy ground at Perth last time. Failed a time before, but showed a fair enough level of form when he won on his debut, and as a 4-year-old, getting plenty of weight.
Graham, what have you got for us?
The 4:30, I think that Guy Tanjali should win that one for Michael Bell. It won at Yarmouth last week and has escaped a penalty. That race was confined to apprentices. Only 4 in it, though, so I don't think we'll be looking at a huge price. The 5 o'clock at Brighton, Light of Air for Gary Moore, local trainer, obviously. Katie Brooks riding. Now, she's been a bit unlucky. She's had 7 rides and 3 seconds, and a couple of those have come on this horse. It's well handicapped on his best form. So, Light of Air in the 5 o'clock for Gary Moore.
And, Darren, what have you got?
I have 2. One of them is actually going directly up against Graham, but I'll give you the other one first. The 2 o'clock in Brighton, horse called The Gravy Train for Ron Harris and Oisin Murphy. He was 2nd at Bath there on Tuesday, ran really, really well. I'd say he's been booked here to turn out again before he gets a penalty. I'd say he was expected to win on Tuesday, but even for coming 2nd, I could see him getting £3 or £4 in here off 62, and he should be, again, a reasonable price here. I think Pink Iceberg will help him make the market. Last tip then, head down to 5 o'clock in Brighton. It's an amateur riders race. I always feel the jockeys are of massive importance in these types of races, more so than your irregular standard fare. The one I came down on here was Circle of Stars for Charlie Fellows, who is Joanna Mason in the plate. As amateur jockeys go, she's definitely in the upper echelon of amateur jockeys. This lad is very unexposed. He's only had the 5 starts. Was second there in Brighton last time out against Lady Mascara. I think that's fairly decent form. Got £2 for that, but I can see he's a horse that's steadily improving. That was a step up in trip as well, and I think it won't be too long before he breaks his duck, and hopefully that will happen on Sunday.
Splendido. Right then, weekend plans, Kills. You're heading down to Sandown on Saturday, aren't you?
Yeah, off to Sandown, yeah. Going to go have a few drinks and hopefully sit in the sun and watch the racing.
Yeah, it should be lovely, shouldn't it?
Yeah, nice little card.
And what about Sunday?
All about looking after my mum, because she broke her back a couple of weeks ago. I have to go and take her a week's worth of food over. I think I'm going to try and get her out of the house and bring her over to mine for a few hours, but she really is struggling to move around at the moment.
Any old excuse not to have to come round to yours, isn't it? Oh, I've broken my back, sorry. G-Rod, what are you going to be up to?
So Saturday I'm going to the West Ham versus Norwich.
There's going to be loads of goals in that.
Yeah, maybe.
There'll be loads of goals in that. Yeah, I'll be amazed if there's less than 5.
Well, I hope you're right. Yeah, it should be a cracker if so. What I do like about it is a 3 o'clock Saturday. You know, we don't get many 3 o'clock Saturdays nowadays. You get all sorts of funny times, didn't you? But yeah, nice to have a 3 o'clock game on a Saturday. So we'll no doubt go for a few pints beforehand too to watch the early game. Maybe I'll park run in the morning, but we'll see how I'm feeling.
You've got to, mate. Get out there. Get out and do it. And then Sunday?
I'm working Sunday.
A live tipster, aren't you?
I think I'm live tipster, yeah. Race Day Live.
You said you were when I was looking at it on Race Day Live last night, so I hope you are.
Yeah, Race Day Live at racingpost.com.
Yeah, so if you're at a loose end on Sunday, you want to ask G-Rod about anything about Sunday's
rather
racing.
Than a question as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. G-Rod is there to answer your questions as the live tipster. Really good service, that. Darren, how about you? What's your weekend plans, my friend?
I've been toying with the idea of going to a music festival all weekend. There's Electric Picnic, it's called, and it's for most of your younger listeners and loads, a famous music festival here in Ireland. My mate Nigel in particular has been begging me to go all week, but the weather over here is desperate, so I'm probably going to miss.
Oh, is it? Oh, no.
Absolutely shocking, like, as in, I'd say you're going to need a boat. Like, there'll be tents swimming around the place down there. It's in a big field in the middle of Ireland, a place called Laois, a bit of a shithole in general, but I'd say that the weather is definitely going to be going against them, so... That does not suit me. So I'd say I'm going to take it handy this weekend. Might spin up as far as Down Royal tomorrow, my favourite track in Ireland.
Oh, lovely. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Maddie's back with our regular Monday postcast. Join her for that. And then we're back next Friday looking ahead to next weekend's action, the highlight of which is the Sprint Cup at Haydock.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.